Today's scripture comes from the book of Romans, chapter 8. I'm going to be reading verse 6 down through verse 11. This is part of a much longer passage that all goes together, but this little piece really contains the nugget of what we want to look at today. So starting in verse 6, the mind governed by the flesh is death. But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of God, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because His Spirit lives in you. Let me read verse 11 one more time. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. There's two ways. And there's only two ways. Two ways to live this life and have a focus in this life. And Paul is calling the people to live by the Spirit. But you see, there's two ways. Paul speaks about the two focuses that people can have for life. They can either have the focus of flesh, or they can have the focus of the Spirit. One or the other. One or the other. Paul speaks about two of them, whether it be the flesh or whether it be the Spirit. Now, the flesh is not talking about our mortal, physical body. And that's why I purposely have used the term focus. Okay? It's not talking just about our physical body. Our physical bodies in and of themselves are not bad or evil. God created us. Okay? And God created our bodies. Our flesh is not evil. What Paul is talking about is he's talking about a focus. And the focus can either be on the flesh and the desires of the flesh and what the flesh wants, or it can be on the Spirit and what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit is with a capital S, meaning the Holy Spirit of God. Not just the Spirit of living life, but the Holy Spirit of God. There is only two ways to focus your life. It's one or the other. Now let's talk about these two ways. The way of the flesh seeks personal desire and is not concerned about God's ways. The way of the flesh seeks personal desire and is not concerned about God's ways. Many people in our world live this way. They're only concerned about what they can get out of life. They're only concerned about what is it about me that I can get? What can I have? What can I reach out? What can I take? Personal desire. How can I be better than other people? You ever notice what the center letter for sin is? See, it's all about personal desire. What is my personal desire? What do I want from life? What do I want to get from life? What am I trying to accomplish? How can I be better than other people? That's a desire of the flesh. And not being concerned whatsoever about how God asks us to live. We've been talking in Deuteronomy, and we're going to continue to talk in Deuteronomy on Wednesday nights about Moses reminding the people how they should live by God's commands. And time again, we have seen Moses say to the people, if you will live by God's commands, if you will be obedient, if you will do what God desires, then you will be successful, then you will be prosperous, then it will be prosperous for your children, and you will pass on, and then. And it all starts back with not focusing on my personal desire. But the way of the flesh, not physical flesh, but the way of the flesh, the desires of most people's hearts, is straight on what can I get out of life. I'm sorry to tell you this, in case you've never heard this, the American dream is not scriptural. The American dream of owning and having everything is not scriptural. That's about personal desire. That's about personally, what do I want? How big a house do I want? What kind of fishing boat do I want? What kind of car do I want? And how do I want to be better than other people? How successful do I? That is a fleshly desire. I can't say that any other way. That is about accomplishing what I can do, what I can gather up. There is more than enough money in the United States to feed this whole world. Amen. There is. Now, there are some dynamic problems about feeding the whole world, okay? We've tried as a country to help other countries, and one of the ways that we tried one time that desperately failed was we sent seed to an African country for them to plant crops and to grow those crops, and sent them equipment to use to plant the crops, and you know what happened? They were so hungry they ate the seed. And all the other stuff that was sent still sits there rotting because they ate the seed to plant. So there's dynamic problems about that. But the desire of Americans to obtain more, to have more, to keep more, is a fleshly desire. I'm willing to say that most of us, because in this area I think I can say this, most of us have a basement that contains things that we don't really need. Amen. That's why it's in the basement. Because we don't really need it. We've gathered up more than we know to deal with. Most of us know people that have gathered up more than they need. Deanne and I are trying to get rid of as many things as we can. And no matter how we do that, it seems as though more things keep creeping into the house when we're not looking. But having all of those things, holding on to all those things, and I know for the most part the generation is gone that lived during the Great Depression, and that I have to hold on to these things in case I need it someday. Some of us still learn from that. My grandfather kept every screw, nut, bolt, washer, lock nut. He kept everything he could get his hands on and had them all organized in his shop in case he needed one day. He taught me how to do that, and I tried to do that, and I found out every time I went to hunt for what I thought I had saved that I needed, I still had to go to the store to buy some because I didn't have enough or I didn't have the exact right thing. Fleshly desire. What can I grab a hold of? What can I hold on to? What can I keep to make my life easier, even though it might be better used by someone else? And not really being concerned about God's ways. And Paul says this, the fleshly focus does not please God and only leads to death. The fleshly focus does not please God. And it only leads to death. Death, total and complete. All of us will die. And if you study your Bible well, you'll find out that all of us, whether we believe in Jesus Christ or not, will be resurrected. Everyone will. Some to eternal life. And some to eternal damnation. The fleshly way focuses in such a way that that death is complete and that death happens forever in eternal damnation away from the presence of God. Now that is the scariest thing in my life, to be away from the presence of God. I know God is present with me every day. But to be dead in such a way that I will no longer know the presence of God for all eternity, that's the scariest thing I know of. And Paul is telling the Roman church that focusing on the flesh leads to that end result. That's where it leads. To all eternity without access to God. Well, the exciting thing is that Paul doesn't leave us there, but Paul tells us what the second way is. The way of the Spirit leads to live God's ways, commands, and mission. The way of the Spirit seeks to live God's ways, commands, and mission. Now, I want to admit to you, it's not an easy thing to do. Okay? It causes me to have continual focus. And if I lose that focus, I move from living the ways of the Spirit to living the ways of the flesh. I've got to do things to keep me focused on what the Holy Spirit is trying to say to me. And what the Holy Spirit is trying to encourage me with. And what the Holy Spirit is trying to lift me up. And how it's trying to help me get away from the ways of the flesh. It's all about knowing the Holy Spirit. It's all about being able to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say to you. About knowing your Bible and knowing what the ways of God are. Knowing what the commands of God are. Knowing what the mission of God is for this world. God's mission for this world is that every person be saved. Every person. No matter who they are, no matter what they've done, no matter how evil they have been, God wants them to be saved. That's God's mission. And God left that mission with us to do. We talked in Principles of Faith this morning about sharing your personal testimony. How did you come to meet Christ? What was your life before Christ? How did you meet Christ? How did you accept Christ? And what difference has that made in your life since then? Has there been a difference? And I told people, if there hasn't been a difference, you might want to question whether you've ever met Christ. Because when Christ comes into our lives, we change from this fleshly desires and the fleshly focus into a spiritual focus led by the Holy Spirit. Now, don't get me wrong. I know we're Baptists. And I know as Baptists, we don't talk about the Holy Spirit enough. Because that's for other denominations. Other denominations talk about the Spirit, and they get slain in the Spirit, and they do silly things, we think, in the Spirit. I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't know the Holy Spirit, you're completely missing out on the Christian life. Do you see what Paul says here? He says in verse 9, If you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of God, they do not belong to Christ. Do you hear that? When you come to accept my understanding, theological understanding, when you come to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, at that very moment, the Holy Spirit comes and lives within you. Amen? You may not recognize it, you may not say it, you may not think of it that way, but the Holy Spirit at that moment comes within you and tries to help you to have this spiritual focus on life. Now, can I not listen to the Spirit? Yes, I can choose not to listen. God still allows me to have free choice. God still allows me to have free will, and I don't have to listen to the Spirit every day. But here's what I'm going to tell you. If you're not listening to what the Holy Spirit's telling you and following the leading of the Holy Spirit, you're living the fleshly way. If you're not following God's commands, you're not following God's mission, you're not seeking to live God's ways each and every day of your life, then you're following the fleshly way. Because the Holy Spirit is right there nudging you. I do not believe, this is not my theology, I do not believe that there are times in our spiritual life that God hits you right square between the eyes with a 2x4 to get your attention. I do not believe in that. I believe that the Holy Spirit is always speaking to you, always nudging you, always trying to help you live God's ways, always showing you God's commands and how to live them, always nudging you, nudging. Do you hear the word I'm using? Not baseball bat. Nudging. I believe that the Holy Spirit is always doing that. Now, sometimes, for some of us, the Holy Spirit has to nudge us a few million times. Amen. And then when I finally get it, it's like, ah! And I say, well, God hit me with a baseball bat right between the eyes. No, the Holy Spirit's been nudging me the whole time. I finally have an aha moment where I get it. That's what happens. It's not that the Holy Spirit wasn't trying to nudge me beforehand. It's finally that it got through this dense, whatever material this is up here. It finally got to me. And the Holy Spirit is always, if you're not feeling the nudge of the Holy Spirit, then you're not living the way God wants you to live. I know, sometimes we can talk about it, about the cartoon, I know, from Bugs Bunny, right? You got a little angel sitting on this shoulder, and a little devil sitting on this shoulder, and they're both whispering to you what to do. Let's change that a little bit. The fleshly desires of my heart, my personal desires, are speaking to me saying, do this. And the Holy Spirit is speaking to me saying, no, do this. Maybe the cartoon's pretty accurate. What do you think? We laughed about it when we saw it. Now, I know I'm dating myself because I don't even know if they show Bugs Bunny cartoons anymore. Amen. But they're good, aren't they? Got a good theological point there. Is your heart speaking to you about personal, fleshly desires, or are you allowing the Holy Spirit to influence you and talk to you? Because look at what Paul says. He says, only those who walk the Spirit's way belong to Christ, have peace, and will be resurrected to eternal life. Only those who walk the Spirit's way belong to Christ. He says, if you can't hear the Holy Spirit and you don't have the Holy Spirit within you, you do not belong to Christ. That's what the Scripture says. Is the Holy Spirit speaking to you? Are you listening? Are you feeling that guidance and that nudge from time to time on what you need to be doing, the response that you need to make? Peace will only come from knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. There is nothing else in this life where peace comes from. Nothing. Everything else is just a mere imitation of what peace can be with Jesus Christ. Because there's no other way to be saved. There's no other way to know God. Jesus Christ is the only one who has prepared that way for us. 2 weeks, we're going to celebrate Easter, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. About 6 weeks after that, if I remember my calendar right, we'll celebrate the day of Pentecost. And the day of Pentecost is when the Holy Spirit came to live among all those who believed in Jesus Christ. And incredible things happened that day. Go and read Acts chapter 2 about what happened that day. Incredible things happened that day. People spoke in tongues, not in unknown languages, by the way. They spoke in what other people could hear. Read the scriptures. It says, I can hear these fishermen speak in my own language. Now, I don't really know whether that gift, I'm going to ask God this when I get to heaven. Did that gift really happen on the tongue or in the ear? Was it that Peter was speaking another language, or were other people hearing Peter speak another language while he was speaking his own? I don't really know where it happened. You know what? Doesn't matter. It happened. The Holy Spirit was leading and guiding them and dynamically changing people that day. And by the way, that's also the day Peter gives the first Christian sermon ever, with no invitation. No invitation. He finished his sermon, he sat down, and the sermon had touched the people's hearts so much that he said, hey, stand back up and tell us what to do about it. Share an invitation. Tell us how to make this different. Tell us how to have the Holy Spirit as we see you having the Holy Spirit. Tell us how to be saved. The people were so hungry. It says 3,000 people that day came to Christ. 3,000. But I'll ask you sometime to do the math. 3,000 is not good enough to save the number of people that are in this world. 8 million people in this world now. 3,000 a day takes over 5,000 years. And I'm pretty sure most of those people will be dead before we get to their place in line. That's why it requires all of us to live by the Holy Spirit. And to live the way the Spirit's encouraging us to live, so that we can live God's ways, God's commands, God's mission. And that's the way that we will have peace. And I want to submit to you, this is the only way the world will have peace. There is no other way. For people to come to Jesus Christ, that's the only way. Now, that's not to say some of the plans that people have will not get us closer to peace. But the only way to have true peace is to have the Holy Spirit within you, because you trust in what Jesus Christ has done for you. I'm going to ask you to spend some time this week evaluating who you are. But most importantly, evaluating what's your focus. Have you evaluated your focus? Is it the flesh or the spirit? Have you evaluated your focus? Is it the flesh or the spirit? I'm ready to say that for a lot of Christians, it's a mixture. That's not good. That's sinful. It's a sinful even to be a mixture. What did Jesus say to one of the churches in the book of Revelation? He said, "You're neither hot nor cold. You're lukewarm. And because you're lukewarm, I spit you out." Jesus says, "I don't want you." If you're trying to ride the fence through life, Jesus says, "I don't want you." What's your focus? If it's not completely what the Holy Spirit's leading and guiding you to do, then it's of the flesh. What's your focus? Let's pray. Lord, Paul gives us a tough word. And sometimes the truth is we really don't want to listen to it. Because sometimes we really like the focus that we have. And we really think that that will get us through life. And it may get us through life here. But as we read the scriptures, it ends in destruction. And it ends in forever being away from your presence. Lord, help us to take the time to really sit and to evaluate our lives. Who are we? And what's our focus? And as you show us those things, give us your strength to change what needs to be changed. To open our lives and allow you to mold us and change us. That even here, we might experience a prosperous and successful life because we've allowed the Holy Spirit to guide us. And Lord, even when the Holy Spirit asks us to step in directions we're not sure about, give us the boldness and courage to step anyway, so that we might experience what you have for us in tremendous ways. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.